Here in the final week of Edinburgh Fringe 2018, you'll hear throughout the month people talking about the rising cost of Edinburgh, but no one's ever really been able to try and work out what that specifically means across the whole fringe. And I'm joined by Claire Stone, because you're actually trying to put some real data around the cost of Edinburgh, which is a very urgent thing to do. So first of all, Claire, tell us how this came about.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm a producer and director myself. I brought work up here in 2015 and 2017, and I was hearing the same conversations happening again and again. The costs were going up, and anecdotally I was hearing a lot from artists that they were really struggling with this, and lots of people were feeling isolated and kind of cracking under the pressure that we was putting them under. So and also just having some really bad, being offered really crazy deals from venues and then being treated really badly by them. So I felt like when that happened again, I was like, right, okay, something needs to be done about this. And I think one of the biggest issues for performing artists to campaign on this issue is that we have no means of kind of collecting, of having a kind of collective response if we don't have shared data on it and public data on it. So the reason why I launched the Cost of Edinburgh survey was to start building that evidence base so that we can start making the case that these costs need to change and the impact it's having on performers and the kind of work that we can bring, the kind of artists who can make it up here. It has a huge impact on access across the board, whether that's race, gender, disability, whether you're a working class artist. There's a lot of conversations around happening around the impact it's having. I'm even having conversations with people saying that they're camping because they can't afford the accommodation in the centre of Edinburgh. So it's something that needs to change, and the biggest thing, the biggest piece of the puzzle missing is, what are we all paying? And if we don't know what we're all paying across different venues, then how on earth can we make informed decisions and have a collective response as artists?
So I guess to unpick that a bit, first there's an issue which is, I guess individuals all know what they're paying when they get back because they all know what they're owing,
yeah,
you know, in overdrafts and so on. But one side of this is, in a way, we hear the news how the Edinburgh Fringe has grown again, how property is going up to rent. So we know going in that it's not going to be cheap, and lots of people then say, well, you know what it is, you know what you're getting yourself in for, so don't moan when you get up here, it's your choice. But what I'm hearing you saying on one side of that is, it's perfectly all right to challenge and to campaign about the overall cost of anything when that cost has spiralled out of control or is unfair or unreasonable.
Yeah.
So going in, there is a cost and we know it's expensive,
yeah,
but why is it that expensive? We could challenge.
Yeah.
The second thing is, knowing that cost, we can get up here, and there's a number of dynamics that only become clear to you when you get up there.
Absolutely.
To do with what you've been sold,
yeah,
you know, whether people are being deliberately deceptive or idealistic,
mm-hmm,
and you get up here and then there's a bunch of hidden costs,
yeah,
and unknown costs, which are everything from money to your mental health
or physical health
that only become apparent when you're up here,
yeah,
and we could challenge that, and we could talk about transparency there,
yeah.
So is your survey looking at both of those things?
Absolutely. I think on the one hand, I think the kind of aim of it is to say, are these, you know, yes, we know that these are the conditions. Is it fair to just expect artists to accept those conditions when we have an understanding that actually these costs are huge? It's a huge amount of risk to take as an independent artist making work. Some people are really falling foul of it as well, having really difficult experiences. And then on the other hand, that's kind of also the, you know, on the one hand, the survey is about measuring those specific costs, production costs, venue costs, accommodation costs, how much are you earning on box office, and is that covering those costs or not? So it's really looking at the financial element, but also we want to measure, what is the impact on your well-being? Are there, you know, is it what you expected or not? Do you feel like costs are increasing or staying the same? How able do you feel to negotiate with venues? Because one thing I'm hearing is, the more I talk to people, the more I realise there is no standard deal across the venues. And even within venues, there is wild difference depending on whether you're a returning company, a company that they know. There's kind of mates rates at operation in some ways. And then a lot of the people kind of falling out of this are people who it is their first time, and they don't know that the same company in the same building is being charged a completely different amount to them.
But I guess so, but what you're saying in a way is the notion of let the buyer beware, that even as we sit here and we can hear the noise in the background and the workshop was just announced and there's hundreds of people here with hopes and dreams that have come up here. Let the buyer beware is a bit of an excuse in a way, because this is an unreasonable fringe for expecting somebody coming up here to have all the information going in.
Yes, I do think it's actually very difficult to be informed as an artist bringing work here, and even very experienced people are shocked and surprised at things. So, for example, I spoke to a producer of an international showcase who found out that their venue was charging a completely different amount to another company simply because they were sent the wrong contract. I also have spoken to other very experienced producers who are shocked at what other deals are being offered. So there's constant surprise, even from the people with the most experience, because there is no standardization and because there's so little shared information about it. So I think it makes it really difficult to make an informed decision. A brilliant producer for a company who are performing at the Pleasance was saying they were trying to ask for how a company in their situation had done the previous year, and often that information is not available to you. It's not provided for whatever reason, and that means as much whatever your intentions as an artist bringing work here, you do not have the full facts. So how can you make an informed decision? And obviously it totally depends what happens when you get here as well. You have no control over whether artists will or will not come, will or will not come. So,
and you want to assess the picture of what those costs are. So if I go to www.surveymonkey.co.uk/cost of Edinburgh, what sort of questions am I going to get asked?
So you're going to get asked, first of all, it's broken into three sections. The first is demographics, because we really want to look at what is the impact on who can and can't attend the festival. Are there bigger impacts from people from minority backgrounds? Or, you know, so it's really important to measure that. The second section is really all the costs. So first of all, we're looking at venue deals. What are you paying for your venue? Do you have a box office split? How much is that? Then we're looking at your income as a company while you're up here. How much did you earn on box office? What were your overall production costs? What were your artists' pay? What was that like while you were here? Finally, there's a section on accommodation, which is the, you know, what not only what did you pay for your accommodation, was it through a private landlord or a company? What was the quality of your accommodation like? How many people were there to a room? You know, I'm speaking to people who have a cast of 13 people in a four-bedroom house. It's not even legal, let alone, you know, fair. So, and understandably, the landlord was incredibly reluctant to sign a contract for that because it's not even legal. So,
Edinburgh becomes a kind of favela. You know, it's kind of like
a little bit,
Yeah. And yet there are haves and have-nots. And let's just, even if we give the benefit of the doubt here, that this is a marketplace, there are winners and losers, and all of that. We're looking here at a survey that's going to come up with hopefully an authoritative picture. So I guess also, when these results get shared, that picture's going to be more authoritative if more people fill this questionnaire out.
Yeah, absolutely. The more numbers of people complete it, the more impactful the results will be. We're going to share the report. It's completely anonymous to do, and it only takes 20 minutes of your time. And there's also space in it to include your own opinions and perspectives and thoughts on it. That's the final section in the survey. But the final report, which we'll be compiling towards the end of November, we want to leave the survey open at least until the end of September or October so people can get their box office settlements and put in all the figures then. And then we'll be compiling the report to share with Fringe Society, who have been really behind and backing this as well. And that report will be published online too, so it's going to be readily available, and hopefully we'll start adding some weight and some data and some consequence to this.
And I guess for people that say, you know, but what can be done about it? Well, there's certainly been pressure while we've been here at the Fringe that's been brought to bear in news stories to say things about minimum wage, things about zero contracts.
Yeah.
Some hall have, you know, moved on that. Mm. Some venues have reacted, some still to react, but there can be change. Do you believe that?
Absolutely. I think we all have... It's very easy as an artist to feel powerless in this situation, and I want to challenge that. I think we do have... Everyone in this situation has a responsibility and a bit of power to affect some change. And Robert Softly Gale, who's a brilliant performer up at the festival, he was speaking about access and said, even if you can't do everything, do something. And if everyone did something within their power, it would make a really big difference. So I'm doing what is within my power, which I've decided is to set up this survey, start the research and gather some of this data. And if you can complete the survey and share it with one, two other companies, then that will already be a move towards change.
So the first step everyone can take is to fill out this survey. Thanks for talking to Fringe Review, Claire Stone.